Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's your boy TP Timeless back at the helm. Welcome to the Monday Night Sports Wrap Up. We got 60 minutes in this kitchen. We got a lot to get into. I'm feeling a certain way after, you know, Sunday we took care of the Keystone State. Well, one of them in the Keystone State. Let me stop talking junk, man. Like I said, 60 minutes, man. Let's get focused. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the top, stepped aside. The kitchen, Timeless is alive. Sports City, welcome back. Let's go.
Out there for their purchase. You surely appreciate it. But you're about to witness is my thoughts.
Just my thoughts, man.
Right or wrong, just what I was feeling at the time. You ever felt like this? Vibe with me.
Walk with a nigga, man.
Vibe with me. Yo, gather around, hustlers, that's if you're still living. And get on down to that old jig rhythm. Just a couple of jewels to help you get through your bit in prison. A ribbon in the sky, keep your head high. Ah, young Vito, voice of the young people. Mouthpiece for hustlers, I'm back, motherfuckers. Your reign on the top was shorter than leprechauns. You can't fuck with Hov, what type of X you're on? I got great lord.
Okay, Hov, calm down, Hov. The calling number is 917-889-9592. Like I said, you got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chef. Shout out for the holiday of Columbus Day. I want to say happy Columbus Day because everybody historically better know what happened on this, what a history he's known for. But whatever. Let me get past that, man, because that scale will go up and down, definitely in the means of the kitchen. Calling in by way of the state of Virginia, my co-host, my brother, Tommy B in the building. I know he's sweating one out right now. Welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm nervous. And I mean, I am nervous.
Yeah, his boys are hanging on right now, trying to get one out in California. This would be big if they can hang on to this one-run lead. I'm trying my best to have my head on a swivel going back and forth from, you know, game to show, but vibe with me, Sports City, like Hov said. We're going to get through this as best as we possibly can.
And I'll try not to holler. I'll try to keep it on mute as much as possible, Timeless in Sports City.
So you're fine. You don't have to worry about nothing. Look, we'll take care of everything necessary here in the kitchen, that's for sure. Also, calling out of the Virginia region. Now, this is interesting, Sports City, because and right now I'm having a little technical difficulty, so just vibe with me again. This is interesting because one, his partner, or my sister-in-law, you know what I'm saying, we took care of business up against them yesterday, but I ain't going to hold the suspense any longer. Calling in by way of the Virginia region, we have Mr. Simmons in the building. Aaron, welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
You know, man, anytime I come in the building, hell, Hov, man, it's just going to be a good day, man. But, yo, shout out to everybody in the building. Pleasure to be here with you guys on a wrap-up show, man. We got a lot to get into over the weekend, a lot that's going on right now in the MLB postseason. And we do have a football game on tap if anybody's interested in that. But we'll get to that as we go, man. Let's go.
I'm not even going to lie. That football game that he's talking about, I have to have my eye on. I am up by 1 point in my fantasy matchup, and I have one player going. Guess who the player is in this game?
Greg Olsen?
No.
The defense of Carolina?
Exactly. So I am scared as hell right now. I'm hanging on to a 1 point lead, and Carolina has been getting scored on like crazy all season long. Even though this is the crazy part about Carolina's defense, they actually been scoring all of these games. All of the games that have gone by, they've scored a touchdown. Like pick sixes or fumbles and returning them for touchdowns, they've been scoring and still giving up like 30 points a game. So I'm concerned, especially with Jameis, if Jameis takes this personally, especially with his teammate Kelvin Benjamin on the other side. But we'll get into that. I got a lot to jump into, especially with my co-host and brother here, Tommy B, in the building. If people are under a rock, it's time for me to give you your dish for the day. Mark Trestman, the offensive coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens, fired today from the organization. Now, this is the funny part about the situation, including Mark Trestman. And as you know, Sports City, like, there's a sensitive, well, of course, everybody knows me. I wear my emotions on my sleeve, sensitive situation. I don't like to see people jobless or searching for work. But knowing that these guys are people who actually make a lot of money and they respect the sport or venue and what they're doing, you know, Trestman is the guy in the NFL that continues to lose his job and get a job again, continues to lose his job and get a job again. I wonder if this is his last stint in the NFL. And looking at the potential of situations in college football, do you think he can go down a chink and go to the you know, level below the professional level and get a job somewhere in the NCAA, whether one of these coaches that we've been talking about all weekend long loses their job or, you know, somewhere that he sees fit that he can help down there, similar to what Charlie White did. I want to see how you guys feel about Trestman. You know what, I'll go to you first, Tommy, because this is your former OC.
Let me start off and say bye. About time. Should have got rid of his sorry ass last season. Now, to be fair, if Pyramid catches that ball, well, he did catch it. If he drags his second foot in, he doesn't lose his job. Let's just be fair. He may get a talking to by Harbaugh, but he doesn't lose his job. Trestman's not the only problem in Charm City. I'm going to break it down for you as simple as it can be. Offensive line, you suck. Defensive backs, you suck. Wide receivers, where the hell did you all go after Steve Smith? First, where the hell did the offense go? Where did anybody go after the playmaker to Steve Smith go? He rolls his ankle. The offense is moving just fine. And then everybody just acts like they got nystagmus or got hit up in the head with a steel pipe and couldn't remember a damn thing because everything just fell apart. So let me get this straight. Steve Smith gets hurt. Mike Wallace forgets what he's supposed to do. The offensive line forgets how to block. Trestman forgets that he has a running back that was gashing the Redskins off defense. Damn, we need Steve Smith that bad. And I'm going to say this right now, since we're talking about college coaches on the hot seat, John Harbaugh, you better watch because that seat's going to get really hot. I'm sick and tired of him faking field goals or going for fucking the points, going for it, instead of taking the easy 3 points. We have Money Tucker. He had a 60-plus in Detroit. The dude is almost automatic. You take the 3 points there. Then at the end of the game, we don't have to go for it on fourth down. You kick the 3 points, we go to overtime. Who knows what happens then? So, John, your ass better be watching. I'm sorry. I'm not impressed with him since the Super Bowl that he won. Or, excuse me, he didn't win. Ray Lewis and Ed Reed won.
Okay, what about Trestman? Do you think he can get a job elsewhere in the league or in college rank before I throw it to Sirius?
Personally, I think he needs to take his ass back to north of the border. Go back to Canada where you made good, where you were winning. Because that's where he was doing. I mean, he was doing fine in Montreal before he took the job in Chicago. So go back to Canada.
Tommy wants you out of the country. Whoa, he's not playing around. Okay, Darius, your thoughts on the situation with Trestman losing his job? Me and actually know a lot about, you know, I don't know where all that background noise is from, but please try to help me out. Know a lot about Tepin and his situation with Marty Morningweg being a former coach from Detroit, and now he also left Philadelphia. He's now running the show, well, that offensive coordination show in Baltimore. Your thoughts on the situation, and do you think he can get another job elsewhere in American football? Let me say it correctly.
You know, I'm going to be really honest with you, man. I mean, I got into a discussion on my Facebook page about this earlier today when the news broke, and I'm going to stand by what I said. You know, Mark Freshman, he is falling on the proverbial sword of a much bigger issue going on in Baltimore. You know, I honestly believe when this man was on a 3-game winning streak, you know, there was very little buzz about, you know, Trestman. And again, you know, the Ravens fans, you know, didn't like his play calling, this, that, and the third, but they were winning. Okay. Now, here's what a Trestman does need to share the bulk of the blame, especially if you want to look at yesterday's game. They were averaging about 5 yards a pop. Why in the hell did you take the ball out of Terrence West, out of West's hands, and start relying on Joe Flacco to sling the rock all over the field? Now, with that being said, my man Royce says this about a lot when you talk about the basketball. You are what your player card says you are. Okay. If you look at the statistics, the Washington Redskins can't cover the pass very well. They can't cover the run very well. So I can see how you can fall in love with the idea that, hey, I got Joe Flacco. He's my $125 million quarterback. You know, I got a burner in Mike Wallace who ain't done crap since he played in Pittsburgh, but we'll leave that alone for another day. Let's see if I can spread these guys out while at home, bring the ball around. I mean, hell, they looked halfway decent during it last week against a very similar defense with the ranking in the Oakland Raiders. Let's see if we can spread light in the bottle. My question is this, and again, Tommy alluded to it when he was speaking. If C.J. Mosley holds that football and scores, is Trestman fired?
Oh, don't even get me started that serious. Don't even get me. I didn't even hit that.
Believe me, I'll let you come back in here in a minute. If Pyramid drags his toe and catches that touchdown, does Trestman lose his job? If they kick a field goal instead of throwing a fake field goal there, does Trestman lose his job? These are all decisions, and these are all plays that Trestman had no control over. The right play was called on the offense. He didn't drag his leg. That's not his fault. C.J. Mosley fumbled the ball out of the end zone. That's not Trestman's fault. The special teams coach in Harbaugh ultimately made the decision to kick a fake, to run for a fake field goal. That's not Trestman's fault. It's also not Trestman's fault that the Baltimore Ravens had one of the worst secondaries in all of professional football. It's also not Trestman's fault that the Baltimore Ravens lead the league and drop passes. Okay, I understand Steve Smith is that dude. Okay, no disrespect to him. I loved him ever since he played in Carolina. I hate it when the Ravens signed him. Steve Smith is that dude. But if they're going to sit there and put the blame for the Ravens' issues on Trestman, that's unfair. That's unfair. Now, my man said Harbaugh is not. I don't know. You know, I have a hard time believing that Harbaugh is on the hot seat, but that, as a Steelers fan, that would not make me any less happy because I can't stand the dude because he seems to know how to beat every, you know, beat us and nobody else. But that's another conversation for another day. But people out here in Baltimore, D.C., Maryland, and Ravens fans alike are sitting there saying good riddance to Trestman. That's not the reason why y'all lost. That's not the reason why your offense has been inept. And that's not the reason why the Baltimore Ravens have lost 2 in a row. If the Baltimore Ravens really want to get real with themselves, they need to take a good look at what's going on around the whole team. And that's why I said what I said in the beginning. Trestman is a scapegoat. He fell on the sword for somebody else's, you know, for somebody else's rock.
Okay, Tommy, I know you wanted to say something, but I this is what I really want to say. I know everything that has been going on in Baltimore, I do agree with every point that Sirius just hit on. And I'm going to just say this. If Mosley hangs on to that ball, that game is over. The game is over. So that was a critical situation that happened for Baltimore. If they would have won the game, and, you know, do you think they would have came after Trestman? That's another thing. They started the season on 3-0, and everything was looking good for Baltimore. They lose two straight. Now they're looking for heads to roll. So that's also interesting. But just like it was said previously, does he go back to, you know, Canada and make it happen in their football league? Can he go to the NCAA, especially with all of the questionable situations that are going on with coaches in college football, i.e. a lot of people looking at that job with Charlie Strong, thinking that he may be taken out of that situation and they're going after the coach down there in Houston to take his position. Brian Kelly, I don't think his situation is safe, even though a lot of people actually around college football think that he has a safe job in Notre Dame, but Notre Dame is losing a lot of games, especially at the early portion of the season. I think there's still availability for Trestman. I don't know if a team will buy into his offensive scheme in the NFL, though. I think his time in the NFL may be done unless he's a specialist, whether he's a quarterback coach or he's dealing with receivers. I don't think he can go back to calling plays or pulling the trigger as a head coach in the NFL. That's what I really wanted to get to. But I definitely wanted to get that one out there, especially while we had Tommy here, the Raven representative, in the kitchen. Here goes another interesting situation, speaking on coaches, and this one actually troubles me more than the immediate. This is more than the immediate. Gary Kubiak was hospitalized with flu-like symptoms. They are looking further into the situation, in which he will not be coaching Thursday night up against the San Diego Chargers. But now, Sports City, I want people to go back into their mental Rolodexes, if you will. This is the same head coach a few years ago, while he was down in Houston, was hospitalized and missed almost the entire season. This is the same coach. Came up to Denver and got the job, got a Super Bowl last year. Congrats. But now a lot of people are talking about this job can actually put a mental or, you know, physical strain on his body that he needs to consider. Do they look into this further for Coach Kubiak? I know, especially him being a former quarterback in the league, coaching in Houston, coming to Denver, making things happen, that his heart is so in tune to this game. Does he stick around, I guess, for another couple of years, or do they actually look to the situation and force him away from the dangers of stress-filled situations around the NFL and the game and his responsibility for being aware of every situation of his 53-man roster? I want to know how you guys feel about this one. Sirius, I'll come to you first on Gary Kubiak.
You know, before I get started, I do want to say, you know, Mr. Kubiak, I hope you get well. You know, it's unfortunate that, you know, a sickness or an illness like, you know, like the flu or something like that can take you away from the game that you love. I'm gonna start off by saying this. You know, when we start talking about Gary Kubiak and, you know, Tony Romo and these coaches and players, you know, Chuck Pagano comes to mind, you really have to take a good look at, you know, your health, you know. And Chuck Pagano, he fought the fight, you know. It inspired a team. Everybody, you know, in Indianapolis, you know, was Chuck Strong. And I honestly believe that, you know, that whole narrative and that whole movement, if you will, is the real reason why Chuck Pagano still has a job in Indianapolis now. Because keep in mind, you know, he was on the hottest of hot seats as last year came to an end, and they re-upped him. And I think that relationship that they was able to cultivate and falter, you know, during that intricate time of his, you know, away from football life was the reason why, you know, he still has a job today. So I'm not going to say he needs to get away from football. Only he, his family, and his doctor know that. I just hope that he's smart with this decision. This isn't the first time that an illness or something like that has kept him away. I'm not sure if it was Kubiak or another coach who actually ended up passing out on the sideline. That was Kubiak as well, if I remember correctly.
It was Kubiak, yep. And that's when
Yeah, so, it's unfortunate, you know, that he's again having a battle with his health. And, you know, I commend John Elway for stepping up and, you know, kind of taking the reins from him for this week, and allowing the assistant head coach to call the shots on a Thursday night game, which, again, if I'm going to tilt my hand, has significant ramifications for that head coach as well. But I'm going to get to that later. Gary Kubiak, get well, sir. You know, get back to the game you love. And I'm not going to force anybody out the league, man. I mean, if his family and his doctor think he can continue, then I wish him all the success until he plays Pittsburgh. But, you know, if it's time for him to hang up, I hope he's at peace with that decision. And that the Denver Broncos, you know, do right by him and, you know, giving him some type of parting gift or whatever the case may be. But take care of your health, man. I hope you get back to us.
Tommy, your thoughts on the Kubiak situation? And just like I stated previously, and Sears hit on it also, this is his second occurrence at the helm in a different situation. One down there in Texas with the Texans in Houston, and now out here with the Denver Broncos in the midst of the game, too. These are happening during the stress and vigors of the game that these, you know, health issues are happening to him. Your thoughts on Kubiak? I mean, I know he'll be cleared probably soon. They're trying to make him go home and rest. But this is something they need to look into. Like, does he really risk his health? And this is, and I hate to kind of tie this in. Well, I don't like, hate is not a good word, but I don't like to tie this together. This is similar to Chris Bosh's situation, where Chris Bosh wants to, you know, go out there and perform because he feels like he can, and his love for the sport won't take him away from the sport. But you kind of got to save people from their own selves, you know what I'm saying? And this is what the Miami Heat organization is doing to Chris Bosh. This is a situation that the Denver Broncos and his former teammate, being John Elway, approaching Gary Kubiak saying, you know what, Kubes, like, the end of this season, man, you might have to wrap it up, man. I want to save you from yourself. Is this something that they look into further or kind of let him make his own decision toward his destiny?
I mean, I swore he had something happen to him when he was OC in Baltimore, or had something happen to him last year. But, I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, there's certainly not a whole lot I can say that you all have it already set. I mean, hopefully he's fine. Because, I mean, it would suck if there was something health-wise to force him out. But, I mean, I guess it's better than just being told fire, that he was fired. I mean, I don't want to be insensitive, but, I mean, he's really got to sit down and think about his health and his family, too.
Well, I'm not saying fired. I'm more or less thinking that they make him resign. Like if they fire him, I feel like it's more harsh, especially with them winning a Super Bowl and playing at the capacity that they're playing. I mean, they just lost their first game of the season with their backup quarterback rookie at that with Paxton Lynch, and we're actually within range to get back into this situation, even though Atlanta played some extreme football yesterday, but that's a whole other discussion. But the Kubiak situation, to me, like, just to be aware of his health issues and knowing that it's going to get more stressful down the line. It's not like it's going to get easier. He's going to get into division battles. The Raiders are playing great football. He has to worry about also going up against the New England Patriots, which they always play each other as well. These matchups are going to come, and it could be bothersome at the end of the day. So this is something that I'm hoping that the organization looks into, not just John Elway looking at it and trying to pull the trigger on the situation, but this is bigger than you know, what meets the eye or the immediate. Like, because he has a little resume of health issues while running the helm. That's why I want to, you know, look into that situation. Okay, so I am going to get away from this situation, and I'm glad Aaron came here, and he's actually digging into a lot of punks and he's going into a lot of the direction that I had scheduled. Now, he talked about quarterbacks. He said the word quarterback. Now, here goes an interesting situation because I have two of them. One that's not, I can't even really say it's funny because I damn sure don't want that to happen to my team or anybody that I know team to go through this. You know what I'm saying? And the other one is more of a real situation going on that people need to really consider, man. Like I really, I know we talk about it every week, but it's still a bothersome situation, at least to me. So I'll go to the good, then I'll go to the bad situation. I can't even call it good. I can't call it good. The Cleveland Browns, I do not know what to tell you guys, but I feel terrible in this situation that's going on with you guys right now. Now, they start Kessler at the quarterback position. He gets injured. In comes Charlie Whitehurst, right? Now, in the midst of this game, Charlie Whitehurst gets hit, and he's nursing himself. But he finished the game. So Kessler's out for this upcoming week. Whitehurst is day-to-day. They are bringing back McCown, who McCown ended up breaking his collarbone on the 18th of September. I mean, and you know, he's up there in age, and, of course, you know he knows the offense and so on and so forth. But if he gets sacked, and you know McCown takes those risks because McCown is a scrambler, and he does real questionable stuff. I won't say stupid, even though I really want to say that. I really want to say that, and I did say it anyway. But he does some crazy stuff as a quarterback, diving and instead of sliding as a quarterback and you know, giving himself up instead of taking vicious hits, so on and so forth. And the potential situation may be in front of them that if he goes down and Whitehurst is day-to-day not able to go, they are going to have to go to Terrell Pryor, who is their best wideout at this given point in time right now. He is playing great ball at the wide receiver position. The situation at the quarterback position for Cleveland has been ringing bells since, what, 99, 2000, since Tim Couch got drafted. Ever since then, everybody knows the history of how many quarterbacks. I think it's 24, 23, 20. It's around that number. But this is crazy that they cannot keep a sturdy quarterback behind center or put blockers in front of him to think of the importance of the guy that's the most important position on your team. I want to see how you guys feel about this. And I know both of you guys actually like this because you both are AFC North guys. Tommy, I'll come to you first. Your thoughts on the Cleveland quarterback situation.
They're not in the same boat as Baltimore, but they are. They better find some offensive linemen that want to block. Because if not, they may not ever keep a quarterback. This team may go 0-16. What scares me is that certain quarterback tie that we follow may be wearing that jersey next year. I don't understand. I think they need to look at the front office and figure out what they're doing block offensive line-wise. Because if you take Terrell Pryor out, you better hope Coleman can come back. Because if not, then you had nothing to throw the ball to. What are you going to do, line up Duke Johnson and start chucking it to him? I mean, I don't know what to think. I knew they would be bad, but my God, I did not think they couldn't keep a quarterback healthy.
Tommy brings up a legit, interesting situation. Do they risk going 0-17? This would be crazy, especially week 17, the last game of the season, if they were to start losing all of these games like that. They play Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. So the crazy part about it is if Pittsburgh has a division sealed up, will the Steelers come off the gas and let them get one? Or just hang on to the division rivalry situation and clobber the Browns. That would be crazy in itself. But with all of these quarterback situations, all of these quarterbacks going down, all of these linemen in front of these guys that continue to watch the pocket collapse every time that they drop back, I mean, this is a legit situation that the Cleveland Browns need to look into. Sirius, your thoughts on the situation with this quarterback carousel being even more interesting at this given point in time. Your thoughts, This is crazy that Whitehurst is now the guy, but he's day-to-day. McCown is trying to come back, and they're actually giving him clearance. Your mm-hmm. thoughts on this, as he's missed football since September 18th, he might be the potential starter.
You know, it's times like this where it's really hard for me to take off my Steeler hat and, you know, speak objectively about an organization where, quite frankly, I don't give a damn about. I just keep it 100. Like, the dysfunction of the Cleveland Browns entertains me almost as bad as watching that basketball squad you root for, you know, miss the playoffs or something like that. Like, it's entertaining to me. Like, it's the thing about having a bad day. You know I can turn on the TV and Cleveland will just make me laugh, and that just breaks my back. You know, but, you know, for the sake of the show, for the sake of trying to, you know, be an informed journalist here and talk, you know, objectively about the situation at hand, because we probably do got listeners, you know, in Cleveland that, you know, clear if he doesn't know what the hell to think. Let me explain it to you. Pray. To whoever you pray to. You know, Jesus, Allah, Buddha, whomever you pray to, pray. Because it's not looking good. And the thing is, gentlemen, the one shining glimmer of hope that you have as an organization to put butts in the seat is going to get himself killed, because not only are you going to have to move him from playing wide out where he's protected some, you know, outside of Joe Thomas, you really ain't got nobody on the offensive line. Duke Johnson, I haven't been a fan of him ever since he came from that one school that y'all two like. And Isaiah Correll, this man gave me 30-some-odd yards rushing yesterday against the New England Patriots defense, which, again, is not world beaters. You know, I mean, they're decent, but they ain't world beaters. So, I'm sorry, Cleveland Brown fans. The good thing about it is basketball season is right around the corner. You can, you know, toast to LeBron James and Kyrie Irving, you know, championship run, and you go that way. The Cleveland Indians are about to sweep the Boston Red Sox. Congratulations to that. And leave this pick in this football alone. And unless you're talking about Ostinko State, you know, leave this NFL stuff alone. This is not for you. Your organization is about as badly ran as the Washington Redskins. You guys had the opportunity. This is the thing that tripped me out, and we hit on this a couple weeks ago. You guys had the opportunity to draft Carson Flippin' Wentz. Your scouts told you, yo, let's not get this guy. He's not going to work out. And you see what Carson Wentz is doing right now in Philly. I got a fiance sitting in front of me right now doing a happy dance because she got herself a flipping quarterback. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I can't with Cleveland right now. I can't with Cleveland right now.
Hey, shout out to Jennifer.
Right around the corner.
Shout out to Jessica. I'm glad she's dancing, because I sure was dancing at the end of that game. Tell her I was dancing just like that. Tell her I was doing the same old two-step. Tell her I was doing the same old two-step. I'm going to do it at the wedding, too. I'm coming to the wedding. Okay. Now, this is crazy, because not only are the issues for Cleveland at that quarterback position strongly questionable, their defense looked horrible yesterday. Brady just got back, and I know it's Brady. I've been talking a lot of junk about him, saying that he's the best quarterback ever. And he just came back off of the – he just came from Italy. Listen, the week before this week, he was in Italy with Giselle. He just came back from Italy, just threw for 400 and three touchdowns, all of Martellus Bennett. Just like, listen, I could go to Gronk when I want. I can go to Edelman when I want. But I'm going to go to Martellus, because he moved in his office, and I'm going to kill you guys. Like, this situation couldn't be real. Tell me through that 0-16 situation for the Cleveland Browns. This situation can be real. Maybe the Jets, because the Jets are playing weak. I'm looking at Cleveland's schedule. Here goes the next couple of games. I'm going to try and do this as quick as I can. Their next game they have is the Titans, followed up by the Bengals, the Jets, and that Jets game is in Cleveland. That's why I take the Jets. They play the Cowboys, the Ravens, the Steelers, the Giants, the Bengals, the Bills, the Chargers, and the Steelers. Like, this, I don't see a break in this schedule at all. I don't see a break at all.
I see one where they could possibly win.
San Diego?
Okay. And that's San Diego, because I'm going to get on to it. And serious, your wife might be doing two-step, but I'm going to have mine crying. because she's a Charger fan. I've never seen a team find ways to lose games like they do. They are inventing ways to lose. Way to go, San Diego.
Karen, don't cry. I love you, baby. Look now. And that game takes place Christmas Eve on a Saturday, and that game is in Cleveland also. So that game can turn out into the favor of the Browns. Okay, so I hear the Chargers. I say potentially the Jets. If the Jets don't get this thing figured out, now I'm going to say this, and I don't, like I said, I don't like to talk about people losing their jobs or things of that nature, but if the Jets lose that game to Cleveland and they're still on this tip where they can't pick up a win, Todd Bowles may be out of a job. Todd Bowles may be in trouble, especially if they do lose that game and continue to lose up until that point. The Tennessee game up against the Titans, that is in Nashville. I'm just trying to find the somewhat holes within this situation. If the Giants are playing questionable, that game is in Cleveland as well. The weekend of Thanksgiving, I'm really trying to find the hole. The Bills is in Buffalo.
When they play Baltimore, they could possibly win that because it seems like we don't show up and play until late in the game.
Okay, that game in Baltimore is a Thursday night game in Baltimore at that. So if you guys don't get charged up for that one.
And that's when we're wearing our purple Rush jersey. I'm very interested to see that.
Okay. Sports City, vibe with me. We do have a caller in queue. I don't know how this could potentially go down. We have a Skype caller calling in. Welcome to the wrap-up. What's your name? What's on your mind tonight?
It's your boy Messiah calling in from the woods in PA. I had to get out of New York. I thought I called Cleveland versus the world for the last 10 minutes. It's Cleveland. Calm down. It's Cleveland. What they need to do is go back in the time machine and don't go to Baltimore and keep Belichick. That's what they need to do. You know, no, I'm selling free Phillip Rivers T-shirt. He's lucky he's a Christian. Everyone loves Tim Tebow being a Christian. Phillip Rivers, my word. He need to start his own network. My word.
Yeah, that's right there.
I just can't. And yes, I'm not calling for Todd Bowles' job, but you punting on 4th-and-2 like you got the 86 Giants defense backing you up.
Yo, that was the since he went there, and you know that was against us yesterday. I'm sitting there watching that game, like, what in the hell were they thinking? Like, they couldn't stop us at all.
I'm looking at Bowles. I'm like, maybe he thought Revis was put some Mr. Miyagi on his hamstrings that was going to shut him down. I'm tired of every game. Every game, there's a 60-yard touchdown pass like it's Madden. Every game. Every game this year, there's been a touchdown over 60 yards. You might as well help Cromartie pay some of his child support to bring him back, okay? I can't. It's going to be a long winter. Doug Rose can't leave California because he's that's why I'm in PA. I don't know. I think I might quit my job. I'm done with New York. I'm done.
I'm done with New York.
This is why you see a 570 area code. I'm done. They killed the
Gino's job for Gino to even get a shot. Jay-Z needs to force for a trade or something to get him out of there. Because I still say Gino plays some football.
Gino needs to pay what he owes. I'm sorry. He bought this on himself. Even since draft day, when he had his hat all tilted and pounding like a chick who's been stood up for an hour. Okay? So, please. I don't want to start this read Gino nonsense, but I think I could do it. But I get it. Like I was saying it last year, people don't understand why you supporting Gino. Fitzpatrick is a one-trick pony. Did you see the one touchdown he actually threw yesterday that they had the nerve to celebrate?
He almost got picked off.
Would you got to catch him a defender helmet and Brandon Marshall celebrating? I'm like, my word. Because Brandon Marshall, I think, is cottonmouth from Luke Cage. So he's got the next career coming up. I just can't. And this is why the Jets didn't want to pay Fitzpatrick. They knew this season was hit or miss. He's not the real deal. And it's not all on Fitzpatrick because the defense, they can't. You pay. That's why they want to pay Mo all his money because he's not J.J. Watts. Okay, I mean, I'm watching the Eagles. How did the, I know we're 2 weeks away from this, but how did the Eagles shut down the Steelers? Go figure that. How did the Eagles offense shut down the Steelers?
You want to know how to answer that question? Okay, answer that question. We shut ourselves down. Really, we got away from what we started fooling ourselves. You feel me? We were going to Philly, and because we just smacked the Redskins in the mouth, just smacked the side of the niggas in the mouth, we were going to Philly, and just, they would just roll over and play dead because we're Pittsburgh, we're mighty Pittsburgh. We got our coach, we didn't tackle, it was a bad game. We had like 20 million drops, you know, from receivers who hit the ball right in their hands. You know, they just beat us. You know, we're out of Mulligan.
And that's what it brings back to the Jet points. For all us who fought for the Jets, giving Mo Wilkinson his money and all this. Even last year with the 10 games, people forget Fitzpatrick game came in spurts. In spurts. I watched the throws. Receivers are breaking their necks. Even long throws, it's a shot put. He throws to areas and hope the receiver gets there and fights for the ball. These are not throws. You look at the Big Ben pass yesterday where they hit Moulton in the hand. You put Fitzpatrick, it's behind him. He's a one-trick pony, so this is why he gets a one-year deal. But this is ridiculous. And that was a winnable game yesterday. You're talking about a Steelers defense that is not good anymore. And you cut fourth and two. I just can't. You know what? I'm going to watch these Indians. I will watch Cleveland, the Indians, to make sure they get Boston out of here.
How about that? That's what I got to say.
Oh,
but, I see the Sports Chef is doing a game. They move, so I'll just call to say what's up. And I will catch y'all when the Jets get their act together.
Wait, hold on. Before we was rudely interrupted, that wasn't even a topic. That wasn't even a topic. We get some New York slander in the background. This is crazy. Okay.
This ain't slander, this is the truth.
Hey, I understand. Look, we all in this kitchen talking about that Fitzpatrick situation and him trying to get top-tier money. I don't know how he'll try and get that executed anywhere in the NFL, let alone, I mean, his resume speaks for itself. But I'm being rudely interrupted. Because we were talking about Cleveland. You didn't even give me your thoughts on the Cleveland situation. You just said Cleveland against the world and then just went straight New York Jets. Like, I didn't even get anything from you about
it's
Cleveland.
It's the Browns.
Okay, but listen, that doesn't interest you a little bit that they are having quarterback after quarterback after quarterback. Hold on. After quarterback after quarterback after quarterback. Wait, one more time.
There's a couple of franchises that's like that. And then with Cleveland,
Wait. What team has had 20-plus quarterbacks run the show since 99? What team?
Yeah. You talk to somebody that's living in New York, right? look what Green Bay has done the last 20 years, and look at 15 other teams that's been in the same flux. But I know what you're saying. The Browns could at least got it right one time for one season. When Tim Couch, wasn't even Tim Couch who got to the playoffs. But with Cleveland out, ever since they came back, it's just, you know, RG3's got a new wife instead of them getting a new quarterback and playbook. It's Cleveland, man. I mean, they might have to put Terrell Pryor back there and then bring in Urban Meyer. Make things real interesting.
That's what may end up happening. That's what's making this a difficult situation. Is if they
don't forget they're shopping Josh Gordon around too.
Wait, it's all the weed spots.
And that's
all the weed spots.
Wow.
I got some urine to sell Josh Gordon. That's about it. So you have to squeeze out the Pampa like Atlanta.
All right. Wow. This isn't even a cookout. You're going crazy like it's a cookout. This is Jesus Christ. Okay, back to the situation at hand. Look at Masai coming here already eating up all people's pig feet. All the hog malls. Right.
Only Muslim I know they eat hog mog.
Huh?
I'm the only Muslim that eat hog mog.
You don't eat them?
My dad, it's Taylor since Columbus Thief Day. Why not? Steal someone's food.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh my God! Okay, so, I said I wasn't gonna go that route for a second. I knew I was. I was trying my best not to go that route. I won't. Okay, so the other quarterback situation. So I'm gonna come right back to you. I haven't heard from you on this situation. Your thoughts on everything that's swirling around in Dallas now? That Prescott is playing the best football I've seen in a while down there in Dallas. Like, I haven't seen it. As much as Romo has been running the show or at the helm since 2006, the last time that he's done this was 2006. Dak is off to an impressive start running the show, and you have the GM and owner, a.k.a. Jerry's World, better known as Jerry Jones, still stuck on that Tony Romo is still the number one guy at the helm. Now, we all know we can read the resume of Tony Romo's injured past. He has two collarbone breaks. He has a separated shoulder, throwing shoulder. He has a broken bone in his back now that he's trying to heal from. All of the other injuries that he's gone from, why would you do that? And a lot of people are talking about it. And I never even thought about it. I was, like, personally looking at the situation of Dak losing the position to Tony Romo because Tony Romo is the number one guy. But then I started to think about it when people started talking about it. The Dallas Cowboys may lose the locker room if they take Dak away from the helm. And I started thinking, I was like, wow, that's true. Like, what if Beasley gets mad or Terrence Williams gets mad or Dunbar gets mad? Like, what if these receivers – look at Witten. Witten was stiff on the dude looking like he coming fresh out of Tennessee again. I'm like, whoa, like – this offense is really clicking. With Dak, Dak has not thrown an interception yet. I can't even think of Tony Romo's career of a four to five game stint the way he did not throw a pick. Like, straight, and this is him. This is Dak fresh out of college. Like, I can't wait to see, like, Dak's 6 year in the league. Like, people are going to be scared of this dude. Like, say, you really go back to the dude that's coming from laying in the bed and holding the clipboard and got the headphones on, throwing up the game signs. Like, really? Like, you really go back to Tony Romo? Like, what? Okay, and you know what I really want to see if they do go to Romo? I really hope Romo has success and everything falls flat in the postseason again. I hope Romo comes back, Dallas does well again in the postseason, and Romo falls on his face. Because all of this is like, oh, Dak is just, you know, the supporting actor until Tony gets back. Like, I don't feel that's fair. But I'm pushing my agenda. I want to see how you guys feel about it. Messiah, I'll come to you first and throw this one around the kitchen.
Jerry Jones saying Tony is number one guy remind me of the original Batman movie. Remember when he's telling the Joker, you're my number one guy. My number one guy. Right. And then he's trying to kill the Joker. Okay. If Tony Romo is smart and then is a team player, he will talk to Jones. Because he does not want that pressure of, I'm going back in the huddle, guys follow me after this kid and leave. You let this kid carry them as far as you can, and you wait, and you heal. That's the smart play. You wait, and you heal. Now you know you don't have to rush back. Just wait and heal. Quarterbacks eventually go down, but I haven't even seen Dak take a lot of hits. That's another thing. This kid is not holding on to the ball. He's not taking a lot of hits. He doesn't have Dez Bryant out there. So what you don't want to just – Tony's a smart guy. He's not going to come in. This is the NFL. You will get your shot in December. I know Tony in December is scary, but his best bet is just to sit back, let the kid keep doing his thing. And like Drew Bledsoe, remember when the gray hoodie went with Tom during that run, and what happened? Tom got knocked down the championship game, and Tom – and Drew Bledsoe came back and do two touchdowns. They went to the Super Bowl. Then he went back to Tom. But if you, Tony, just sit and, like the Penguins say, Madagascar, smile and wave, boys. Do not come in there gun blazing saying, I'm back, Tony's back. Like, two blocks back. No. Slide in the locker room. Have the trainer rub you down. And let the kid keep doing what he's doing. Because after that preseason game where you rolled out and you already cracked your back off, I've seen enough. You're like a crazy old man. You might just want to just sit and wait. You got one more round left. Don't try to go all 15. Just save for the championship rounds. That's the small play. But Jerry Jones might have other plans. He's like your ex-favorite boyfriend. You know how your parents had that ex-girlfriend they always loved. They keep bringing her up in front of your new situation. That's what Jerry Jones is doing.
I mean, it's partially, I don't blame it because they gave Tony $100 million. I think they're trying to get every last dime out of this dude before he looked like he made a successful signing in the matter. But let me get this one around the kitchen. Tommy, your thoughts on this situation? I know that you're probably tired of talking about this one, but, again, Dak does work up against a quality, I'll say top 15 defense. I'll give him top 15, even though I feel like I'm underselling the situation of the Cincinnati Bengals. But he
top
made the Cincinnati 15? That's too much. Am I giving him too much?
You're giving him way too much, baby boy.
Wow, where do you put them? Where do you put the Bengals at? Their defense? No, their defense. Not the king.
I'm going to tell you what.
Not the king.
Get to Tommy. Let Tommy speak on it right now because he's probably trying to do two things. Let me let Tommy go. You and I can have a conversation when it's my turn.
Okay, no problem. Look, okay, so he thinks they're worse than 15. This is crazy. Okay, but even if still, wherever this ranking may go, I'll say top 15 just to be fair. He made that defense look pedestrian. He made that look pedestrian. If Cincinnati's a quality defense, quality, no matter where Sears may put them, whatever number he gives them, I know he's not going to go less than 22. If he goes less than 22, then we're arguing. We're going to argue. But, Tommy, your thoughts on this situation that's going on week after week is like continue to impress and win, but yet everybody's saying, well, just hold that spot and keep the seat warm until Tony Romo comes back.
I'm sick talking about it. I'm going to sound like a broken record. I'm just going to record it and just push play. We watched this morning, Ty.
I'm ready.
And Jerry Jones has came out and said that after the bye week, next week, going into playing Philadelphia, Romo should be ready and he's going to be the quarterback. I hope and pray to God he loses. And this is a joke. You got a guy that's got top. He's on the got to be right now on top of Rookie of the Year. At least you got a defense that's playing well, offensive line that's blocking well, and then you got plus he can. I mean, the running game's working. You put Romo in there, and all hell could break loose. Offensive line may not block well. The defense may be more lazier than what they're doing. I mean, you can see a lot happen.
Okay, so Sirius, this is your turn to speak on this situation that's going on in Dallas, and I do need to hear this number of where you rank Cincinnati's defense. Matter of fact, Tommy, before I go to him, where do you rank Cincinnati's defense since you see these guys twice in a season? Are they a top 15 or worse defense? Now, I'm not saying the team. I'm not saying the Bengals as a whole. There's defense at least. Tommy, are you still there? Okay, we might have lost Tommy. Okay, so Sirius, jump into that, and then we'll get into the other stuff.
All right, so I'm going to be real with y'all. If I'm looking at total defense, okay, just total defense, okay, according to ESPN.com, you know, just they have them at 15. I have a hard time with that being as though their defensive line is suspect and the secondary is horrible. Let me emphasize the word horrible. The biggest weapon that they had in their secondary, ironically, is now shutting stuff down, I believe, in Minnesota. And we all see how dominant Minnesota is playing right now. So, you missed with that top 15 nonsense. I would probably put them probably at 19, 20 based on, you know, everything that, you know, we had to deal with. You know, Burfict, not, you know, second game back. Pac-Man Jones is a clown. Secondary, they can't tackle to save their damn life. Defensive scheme, they really sit back and pass and try to play a lot of zone and try to generate pressure with, you know, with their front four. And if they don't get, and if their front four doesn't get there, quarterbacks are having all day to sit back there, pick their nose, check their Facebook, do their taxes, bang their female girlfriend, wife, or whatever, and still throw touchdown passes to whomever the hell they're throwing the ball to. Oh, unless you're playing the Miami Dolphins, and hell, their offensive line is just pitiful. Ironically, guess who we play Sunday? So, I'm leaving him alone. But honestly, man, to get back on task, I agree with Tommy. I'm about tired of talking about it. You know, we've all had, you know, blessed, you know, this microphone and these airways with our opinion about the Tony Romo, Dak Prescott. You know, all of us on social media has talked about it at great length. At the end of the day, I think Jerry Jones really wants to say he wants to be the smartest guy in the room. He wants to be like, you know what, I have a man crush on Tony Romo. Clearly forgetting the fact that your football team is, you know, number one in the NFC East right now. They have a running back wide receiver tandem that may go down as one of the baddest in the mother flipping game right now. And that rookie of the year that Tommy alluded to, that's probably going to the running back who is standing behind Dak Prescott at the moment. So at the end of the day, if Jerry Jones wants to castrate his head coach and castrate the testicles of his own franchise, go ahead and put that dude back in there. Lock yourself out. I mean, you play this week and then you got to buy and then you come back and you have a divisional opponent. So that would give Tony Romo roughly about 2.5-3 months since his injury. Go ahead and bring his broke behind back in there. And let, you know, Fletcher Cox, I believe they got Philadelphia coming after the bye. Let Fletcher Cox pop him in his back one more game, and you'll be right back where you started. Or the worst case scenario, these guys might have success. You lose them later on in the year, you know, and then you're going to have to try to get Dak Prescott to recharge and go forward again. You know, you're taking a big gamble. But Jerry Jones, every time, every year, it never fails. He always likes to castrate his team based on his flipping ego, clearly ignoring the fact that, yo, my squad is balling. I got a good thing right now. We're 4-1. We didn't even start talking about how pitiful the Dallas Cowboy defense is, because that offense right now is averaging almost 30-some-odd points a damn game with a rookie quarterback, a rookie running back, a bunch of no-name or wide receivers. Who the hell has Cole Beasley on their fantasy football team? Who the hell has Aaron Jones on their fantasy football team? But because the reason why you have them, because Dak Prescott is spreading the ball around, not looking for, you know, his favorite weapons in 88 and his favorite weapon in 82. Everybody in Dallas is eating because that quarterback understood something that was taught to him in college, and he's coming in the big boy game and spreading that rock around. But, again, don't look at me, Jerry Jones. You want to cut your balls off for your franchise by putting that clown named Romo back in the ballgame because you want to stroke your ego or stroke something else. That's on you, playboy. That's entirely on you.
Jason Wirtz.
That was a hell of a shot. That was a hell of a shot.
Come on.
That was a hell of a shot.
Okay. Let me get into the
top of the ninth. No out, Jack. How big?
We do have a caller in queue calling from the. Hold on. We do have a caller in queue calling from the 347. Welcome to the wrap up. What's your name? What's on your mind tonight?
Yo, what's up, fellas? This is Bryce calling from Brooklyn. How you doing tonight?
Well, I guess
we're doing all right.
All right, cool. Yes, can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. I guess for me tonight, I just wanted to talk about my Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, God, no, man.
Of course.
No, you can't. Wait, hold on. He can. That's cool. Okay. So, your thoughts on the Steelers and, I guess what's on your mind?
Well, the first thing, you know, with Pittsburgh is I like the way they're playing. I'd like to see them actually play with a little bit more pace. I think the Jets were in the game in the first half because they allowed – Steelers allowed them to just grind the pace down into a snail's pace where, you know, you just get a little stagnant. I want to see Pittsburgh run more of the no huddle. I think with all the weapons they have and then what they're able to do defensively as they just rebound from Philly, I think continuing to run the no huddle is going to really help them and put teams on, you know, on edge, considering – they're going to be playing some teams up here that are not bad in the front seven. Good way to neutralize a good front seven is to run the no huddle. So other than that, I mean, Pittsburgh to me, like right now, statistically, they're the number one seed in the AFC. And I think with the quarterback and with the running back they have, you know, we're not even talking about Antonio Brown. They're just going to be hard to stop. The defense will be better by end of the season than they are now. And the defense actually is playing pretty well. So I like Pittsburgh's chances to get to the AFC Championship, advance to the Super Bowl.
Okay, wait, hold on. Before you start throwing that number one team in the AFC, you do know that Brady's back, right? You do know he's back.
Nobody care about Brady.
I do know Brady's back. Do not sit there and tell these people across the Brady's a problem that Pittsburgh knows all too well. Yes or no?
No. I agree with you 100%. I mean, Brady is back, and I think the Patriots are the number with Brady. The number two team in the AFC. I do not believe on paper they're a better football team than Pittsburgh, but they do have the better quarterback, not by much. They do have the better tight ends. Their tight ends are all world. But if you look position by position, Pittsburgh's got the edge on them in a lot of positions. So I like Pittsburgh as the number one seed, even with Brady back.
Okay. Oh, at the running back position, I give you that. Defensively, who wins? Whose defense is better, New England or Pittsburgh's?
I think New England's better in the secondary. I think we're better in the front seven. I give our front seven better than their front seven. When you've got Tuitt, Hayward, Timmons, Shazier, I think that front seven is stouter. I think their safeties in their secondary, I will give them the edge there. Even though our secondary is not playing that bad, we're not getting thrown over our heads. But offensive line, we're better. Running backs, please. Receivers, please. I mean, we've got good special teams. Boswell's a really good kicker. We got a good punter. We have the advantage in a lot of places over that team.
Okay. So you gave me quarterback, you gave me tight end, and you gave me defense, right?
No. I give you the secondary, I give you tight end, and I give you the quarterback, and, of course, I give you the coach because it's Belichick. But
I think the linebacker core is better than your linebacker core.
You better.
No, I don't think they have a linebacker as dynamic as Ryan Shazier. I think Ryan Shazier would be.
Okay, so you're telling me, you're telling me that Bill Belichick is not going to follow the blueprint that killed you guys out there in Pittsburgh up against the Eagles. And you guys,
I think he might try some of that. I mean,
You know he is the best game preparer in the game, and you have to look at the coaching. Who's the better coach, Tomlin or the evil genius?
Well, I mean, look, I give Belichick the edge over everyone. I think he's the best coach in the league, but Tomlin is a top five coach. See, this is the problem with the Patriots. This is the problem with the Patriots' advantages, that, yes, they have the advantage at quarterback and coach, but the advantage is not a wide gap. Our advantage at the running backs, at the receivers, at the offensive line is a wide gap. We are clearly better than them in those areas. Those are wide gaps. Their widest gap is at tight end.
And hit the deal. By the time we play them, LaDarius Green will be back.
I'll still give them the edge at tight end. Those are two dynamic tight ends. Best combination in the league. I'm going to give them that. And they got Brady, but Brady, you know, if Brady's one, Roethlisberger is two or three, you can argue. So there's a drop-off, but not much.
Time out. And I love Big Ben. I ain't even going to lie. Big Ben gets the edge over Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I mean, that all depends. Like, some people would argue that Rodgers is clearly number two, but Ben is clearly number three. Personally, I take Ben over. I think Ben is a better quarterback overall than Aaron Rodgers. Overall.
Really?
I think when you look at the overall career, he's a better quarterback.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's overall the better quarterback. I think Aaron Rodgers is the better pure passer, but Aaron Rodgers is the best pure passer in the league. But when you look at wins, playoffs, moxie, even with the numbers, you add all that together, playmaking, Ben Roethlisberger is a better quarterback than him. He's more accomplished.
I give
he's a more accomplished quarterback.
I give you that because of the organization he's with, and the Steelers have been getting it done since he's been here. What since was been here since 2004, right? 2004.
Yeah, but they didn't win a Super Bowl till Ben got there. Like Ben is that piece. Like he's that elite. Like that's him. And I love our matchup against the Patriots. And I'm sure they're a dink and dunk team. They run the no huddle. They adjust. So they could try to do that. I mean, they're the two teams before them, while they're not as good as the Patriots, tried a similar strategy, but nothing Philadelphia did was by skill. We got out-coached and outplayed, but we can make adjustments to that. It wasn't a lack of effort or just getting beat because we don't have the personnel like maybe a couple years ago. This secondary is a lot better than what people think, so we'll see. And their receivers don't really scare me. I think Julian Edelman's a good player. I want to see someone smack him in the chest because I think he talks too much trash. He wouldn't be that good without Tom Brady.
Well, Mike Mitchell is that chest smacking dude. Michael Mitchell is that chest smacking dude.
Yeah.
I'm gonna fold his ass up like Ryan Clark did Wes Walker. Y'all remember that joint? Don't play with me. He don't want none of that, man. 2-3, he don't want none of that.
I mean, and you got the Patriots that – I mean, look, you've also got the Patriots – look, that's a good defense, but Pittsburgh, when healthy, and I'm sure they'll have Marcus Gilbert back here soon, Pittsburgh's a top 10 easy offensive line. I think we could push them off the football. So what are they going to – so you talk about Brady and Belichick, but what scheme is there when we run 25 wham and they can't stop it because, you know, we're running the football? Like, let's see if they can hang up. You know the bugaboo with the Patriots is if you're physical on your lines, you can get to them. So let's see what they can do. Because we're going to test that physicality.
Wait, hold on. You're making it seem like Belichick won't be up to the task, the game plan for that defense, or that offense, to take away your best piece, which would be Le'Veon Bell or Antonio Brown. Like, he will definitely take those two out of the game. No, because we've seen Hold on. We've seen him do this every time that he's played a team that has had this elite edge or top of the AFC or top of the NFC type of situation. And he's always came out on top of that situation. He knows how the situation is ran at Pittsburgh, whether it was Cowher or if it was Tomlin, who has the edge? You tell me the series matchup head-to-head, who has the edge?
I answered the question. Don't get it twisted. I answered the question. Well, let me ask you this question, Tomless. Okay, we just had a receiver yesterday who had two touchdowns, went over 100 and some odd yards, and should have had four because this motherfucker dropped the ball. We got a running back. We got a backup running back. We got a tight end. Not to mention the baddest wide receiver on the damn planet. Again, you can game plan to stop Antonio Brown because everybody and their mother's going to try to do that. But what are you going to do with Sandy Coates out there? What are you going to do with Le'Veon Bell there? What are you going to do with our tight end Jesse James, who's emerging himself to be an adequate replacement for the legend he's talking about? Again, nobody's taking anything away from that. Nobody taking anything away from Tom Brady and Belichick scheming to take away a team's main option. What you fail to understand is, Thomas, most teams on offense only have one option. When you line up and you play the Atlanta Falcons, you know, shut down Julio Jones, shut down Freeman, you got a game. When you play the Detroit Lions back in the day, you take 81 out of the game, the Detroit Lions are useless. Most teams only have one or two legitimate killer options. Look at our offensive options on the offensive side of the ball. Who the hell can you afford to take away? Because if you take one away, the other one is going to kill you. I have to say, unless we beat ourselves playing the long game Patriots because we just got so scared because, oh, that's Bill Belichick on the other side and that's Tom Brady. I don't see a team, especially in the AFC, that can battle with us. We're that fucking deep. And God forbid, I didn't even mention. We're not, we don't even have a Tavius Bryant. I didn't even mention them.
Okay. This is what I'm saying. He thinks that he won game plan because a lot of Antonio Brown's damage is done in the middle of the field. He's not running long routes a lot. He can make that happen. I'm not saying that he won't, but he makes a lot of that stuff run into the teeth of that defense where Belichick will game plan for that. And I do argue, and I would love that debate, though, but not now because I do want to get through the show. I do want to argue that best receiver conversation in the league. I do want to argue that. Even though Antonio Brown is a monster. Listen, Antonio Brown is a monster, but I think there's another receiver in the game that is better than him right now.
That's funny.
The Patriots have shown, and they've shown a consistent weakness, if you can do this, is that if you can play physical football, even if you know what it's coming, if you can just overwhelm them physically, you can get to that quarterback and you can run the football, i.e. the Giants. No secret to what the Giants did. They had a 4-deep defensive line, and they just beat them up front. And the Patriots are very susceptible because their offensive line is an okay offensive line, but it is not elite. And we have two very elite defensive ends for a 3-4 defense that can really play. So, look, you're talking about matching up, you know, taking away options. What happens if Pittsburgh takes away Gronk and takes away Martellus Bennett? Where are they going? They're going to run the ball against us? Not going to happen. They're not going to line up and run the football against Pittsburgh.
Wait. You're not just going to say it like Edelman is not a factor. Edelman was the one that brought them back in that Super Bowl, remember?
I'm not going to say Edelman is not a factor. I'm saying Edelman is not elite. Edelman is a good player, but he is not elite. He plays off of those tight ends.
I didn't call him elite. I didn't call him Edelman elite. Wait. I'm trying to let you. Let me speak. Now, here goes the situation. You make it seem like Grady won't be ready for people to make that situation. Like, he won't pick you apart. If you do want to, you're going to have to double-team Gronk. You're going to. That's two people responsible already. You got 9 men left to worry about what Martellus is going to do on the field. And then you got Edelman and Amendola. And don't forget, even though I do love y'all running back core, Lewis and company, that running back core is coming back for them. They are almost at full strength. How they looked before they started getting injured and were 4-0 before they ran into that game up against Denver. And don't forget, here goes another one, the icy cake. 2007, Randy Moss came in, they went completely nuts and started scoring the ball. He gets Martellus Bennett as a present, and now he looks completely like a monster. Like Martellus Bennett wasn't in Dallas and couldn't do any of this, or in Chicago and couldn't do this, or in New York with the Giants and couldn't do this. He got to New England and just scored bananas like crazy. So now everybody across the country is worried about how do you stop both of these dudes, and both of them went off for like 100 yards receiving, and Martellus was the one that was scoring. Like, he was picking and choosing up against, even though I don't even want to call them pedestrian, I really feel like they're crawling at the Cleveland Brown defense. But don't think that he doesn't know how these teams are going to try to operate to stop his options. Brady's been down this road before. And like, hold on.
I think that's a good point.
Hold on. And I clearly state this. He is the best quarterback we've ever seen, ever.
Cool.
Wrong.
Okay, well, A, he's not. But B, I think you also have to. I think you also take into consideration.
Right.
Name
the quarterback that's better.
Joe Montana. Yep,
Joe Montana. 4-0 in Super Bowls, baby. 4 MVPs.
Okay.
You ain't match. He ain't matching that. So you take the body of work. Nah, Joe Montana, baby.
Hold on. Has he been to 6 Super Bowls?
He has, but he lost 2 of them.
Right.
So you can't be better than Joe Montana for MVPs or 4-0 in Super Bowls.
Hold on. Let's match. Since we're here, we're going to do that. Joe Montana has not been to 6 Super Bowls, right? Tom Brady has been to 10 AFC championships. How many AFC championships has Joe Montana been to?
I don't know. I think a lot, though.
Look, it's not 10. It's not even 8. It's
true. I mean, look, there is no Tom Brady without Joe Montana. Like, there is none.
Look, you have something to look at, but let's do this. Joe Montana had weapons his whole career in San Francisco, right? When did Brady have weapons ever?
Well, you just got done talking about. Well, you just got done talking about Randy Moss. You had Corey Dillon. You had all. You have Gronk. I mean, the guy has had people to throw to, and he's had the benefit of playing with a very good coach that tailored the system to him. I mean, look, he hasn't had Jerry Rice or John Taylor, but I'm not going to hold that against Joe Montana. Many great players who have won championships have played with other great players. You play with the players you have. I look, Tom Brady is phenomenal. Best ever? No. He's not better than Joe.
Hold on, man. Look, behind cameras to help him win.
Listen,
all these Super Bowls, all the AFC championships are tainted. I don't care what you say, Ty.
Yeah.
You can be my brother, but they're all tainted.
Listen. If you worried about them flattening a ball, then okay. I'll let you have it. Look, at the end of the day, right?
Ball.
Pittsburgh also.
Hold on.
You even have players that were on the Indianapolis Colts team that said that them taking air out of the ball had nothing with us getting our asses kicked. Nothing to do with that. And if you think that every team in this NFL do not have a cameraman to put a camera on them and watch them run their plays, you are smoking something. I don't know what it is, but please tell me. I won't mess with it. Okay? And for another situation, you tell me that Joe Montana had Rice, Taylor, Brett Clark, Ravlin, Roger Craig. Look at all these pieces I'm mentioning. Listen, before he got Moss in them, he won three Super Bowls with Deion Branch and David Gibbons. These dudes are not in the league. These dudes will not be Hall of Famers. None of them. Corey Dillon might be the only exception to the ones that made it. Antoine Smith. I can start naming piece by piece of the dude that he was going to. None of these dudes will make it. Christian Fourier, are you serious? You can't name the right, but
look, everybody that Joe Montana went to, they got a gold jacket. Every last one of them.
Well, that may be the case, but that doesn't take away from Joe's greatness. Just like it doesn't take away Magic Johnson, considered the best all-around player in terms of five positions to ever play the game. He played with great players, but he himself is an elite, great talent. So that doesn't take away from Joe. Just like I'm not taking it away from Tom Brady. If anything takes away from Tom Brady's greatness, we could also say that Tom Brady has benefited from rule changes that allow he doesn't have to get touched. Joe came and played at a time where you could smack the quarterback, and he played and won championships through that. Same with Jerry Rice. So that adds to their greatness if you really want to get technical.
Brady
is a system quarterback. Book it. You take him away from Belichick and put him anywhere you want. You won't see the same Brady. He's a system quarterback.
Okay, and when Joe Montana left the West Coast office of Bill Walsh and Seifert, when he went to Kansas City, he didn't do crap either. He retired.
No, that's not true. He had a few good years at Kansas City. He didn't win a Super Bowl, but that wasn't because of Joe.
Did they win? They didn't do nothing.
They went to the playoffs.
So you're telling me that if Brady went to an average team, because that's what Kansas City was before Joe Montana was there. They were an average team, and it was him and who? Marcus Allen at that point in time. They had an interesting run, but they didn't knock people. AFC still takes care of business. It still was dominated by the Buffalo Bills at that point in time. Right or wrong? At that point in time, where Joe Montana went there, Buffalo Bills were dominating the AFC at this given point in time. You're telling me if Brady went to an average team in the NFL, wherever you put them, but they have to be average, that he wouldn't get to the postseason with them?
I didn't make that comment, so I don't think you're asking me.
Okay. I'm just making sure that I got this.
I didn't make that comment. I didn't make that comment, but whoever made that comment can respond to that.
Okay, because I know at all costs Brady's going to be damaging, regardless. He's done it with nobody's before. Look, he just came in there and did work with – he just came off of a vacation. He was in Italy. He wasn't even practicing with the team that did that.
Look, Tom Brady is the best quarterback alive to me. But, I mean, again, when you get back to the matchup, his greatness in terms of Ben Roethlisberger is not, it's not a wide gap, my dude. considering now. I'm talking about right now.
No. I didn't think he was leaps and bounds. Listen, the NFL, this is a long history of players, and I respect all of it. And I'm not saying that Joe Montana wasn't great. Don't get this confused with me saying that these quarterbacks. That
I know you're just saying Tom Brady is the best ever, and I'm saying he absolutely wasn't. Like that
okay.
We should disagree.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to agree to disagree until.
Yeah, we just disagree.
I don't even want to throw stats involved like it because that's a whole other range where Brady blows. He blows Joe Montana out of the water when we talk stats. If we talk stats, you can put your hands down.
Well, sure. I mean, if we're going to talk stats, Phillip Rivers is one of the best. Is one of the best quarterbacks to come out in 20 years. But we know it's more than just stats, which is why I take Ben as a better overall quarterback than Aaron Rodgers.
I love Phillip Rivers. You couldn't even put Rivers in this conversation.
Stat wise, you could put him up in terms of the last 20 years because he's put up phenomenal stats. His stats are astronomical.
He turns the ball over like Eli. He gives the other team the ball in crucial situations with it's off or not. Hey, off or not.
If you gave me an option, Eli or Phillip Rivers, I'm going to take Eli.
And that's an argument. Now that's interesting.
If you ask me, Phillip Rivers is underachieved with his team. That team consistently for a lot of years had a lot of talent and didn't go anywhere.
Yeah,
I think he's the worst
injured
out of the three drafted in 2004, to be honest with you.
That's just wrong. I don't want either one of them.
I mean, Ben is clear. Now, you want to talk about a margin? Ben is clearly better than both of those guys. Like, just off of 2004.
I didn't put Ben up again. Look, I'm not even putting them in the conversation. They aren't even in the best all-time conversation. I'm not even putting
right.
Ben can be. And I can say Ben can be. You know what I'm saying? Ben has two Super Bowl wins. He's been to three Super Bowls. Like I can't even get mad at Ben. I love Ben Roethlisberger. I'm not even saying it like I don't like him. Like, I remember when he was at Miami, Ohio, and ran the table, and they weren't giving him consideration because he was in the MAC. That was wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I feel like he had that chip on the shoulder, and he came into the league after who was the quarterback? Maddox was running the show, and he goes down, and then he wins 15 games straight. Like, that's why I respect Ben. You know what I'm saying? Because he had a point to prove. People don't know that's the chip on Ben's shoulder. Like, look, I love all football. Like, it ain't just like I'm a homer with what I see. But for what I see with what Brady's been doing here in New England, are you kidding me? Are you kidding?
I mean, you got to also look at the Pittsburgh. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Picture if he had – okay, so Rice came into the league in 84, right? Montana was there in 79. So Montana was in the game for 5 years before Rice got there. He ended up leaving in, 92, right? And going to
– and he won a Super Bowl before Jerry Rice, I believe.
Right. No, I'm not even including that. But he still had
right.
Clark in all of them now. Right? So
right. Yeah, Clark, yeah.
He had – picture if he had, like, Moss – 4 to 8 years right there, from 84 to 92 compared to 2007 to now, to 2015.
Right.
Are you kidding me? Like, serious. Like, they broke a record the first time they got together. Like they yawned. He got on the plane and said, let's tear these dudes up. And they went 16-0. Stop that.
Well, speaking of receivers, when it comes to the matchup and in terms of who's better now, Patriots and Steelers, you also have to understand that Pittsburgh's defense has gone up against, in this young season, very good receiving trios. You got Washington, good receiving trio. They've already shut down A.J. Green. They did a good job containing Brandon Marshall. So they've gone against Jeremy Maclin. So we're going to be ready when the Patriots come with Edelman and these other guys. This secondary is being tested already. They've already beaten three playoff teams from last year. So let's see what happens in a couple of weeks. We got Miami this week. Let's see what happens. They come into Pittsburgh. We're going to be ready for them. I want them all to be healthy. I want the whole team to be healthy. Come into Pittsburgh, and we're going to have something for you.
Look, this is what I say in difference to the receivers that you're throwing in the comparison. The receivers that you all mentioned are long striders. They got to get their legs ready to go. You're going to deal with quick, choppy receivers underneath a lot of that madness in that defense.
My dude, will you please stop it? Julian Edelman is not even – you can't even put him in the same league as someone like A.J. Green. I don't care how quick he is, short, choppy steps. He's not A.J. Green.
No, I know, but A.J. Green isn't running in the midst of those defenses. A.J. Green is on the outside a lot. You don't
I know, but A.J. Green is running all of the routes, though. He's a top five wideout. Like, Julian Edelman is not. I like Julian Edelman, but he is not. Like, Julian Edelman is not Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall runs all those routes that he runs.
Don't get it confused with what I'm saying compared to where I'm ranking these receivers. Don't do that. Don't like that. You're going away from the situation. I'm saying with Gronk and Benton, now he got Martellus Bennett added to the situation. With these two causing havoc, these defenses have to see what the hell is going on with Brady going to go. And in the midst of that, he has Amendola and he has Edelman underneath in the midst of this too, where linebackers are going to be in mismatches. Think about that. These linebackers are going to be lined up against them or safety where these quick dudes that are chopping or do a double move, that's a 10-yard game. Don't forget, when he's going to go West Rucker, they're not going to catch a 1 yard out and take it for 15 yards. This is what Edelman and them are settling for. This is what Edelman helped win the Super Bowl up against them leading the room with. Because Richard Sherman and them had to, it was a long starter. They couldn't be the dude that had to choppy stuff underneath. They couldn't.
And the Seahawks still should have won the game, but they didn't. But at the same time, look, I will give you the matchup for the tight ends. I mean, the tight ends are a matchup. But if we got matchup problems, what kind of matchup problems do you think their defense is going to have? Where do we start? Like, D'Angelo Williams, Le'Veon Bell in the slot, Wheaton, Brown. They don't have a guy that can check Brown. You got Coates. So where do they match up? You got the offensive line. We can still just turn and run power football. You got to stop that. We got the quarterback. So if we got matchup problems, they got a ton of matchup problems.
Don't forget, Brown is going to have to worry about the Super Bowl MVP. But
he torched the Super Bowl MVP last year, 5 for 125 and a touchdown. So that dude can line up and single up all he wants to, and he's going to get that work like he got last year.
You just make sure you come to the kitchen if it goes down either way. Either way,
my dude, I'm going to be here. I'm looking. Oh. I love, this was so much fun calling into this show. I can't wait to come after this game. I can't wait.
Okay,
you just make sure you take my call when I call in.
No, listen. I only hold off people that prank. Of course, if you listen to Blog Talk, you got prankers that call in here and start throwing racial terms. That's what I watch out for. That's why I'm like, bear with me if I don't understand a number or something like that. I try to watch out for. I'm glad that you know your stuff and we can have this type of conversation. I do want to get respectfully everybody out to their Monday Night Football game because there are games that are taking place. I did want to
get your team real quick. Who's your team before I get off the phone?
I don't have a dog in the race with you guys. I'm a Lions fan in the NFL.
Okay, I like your quarterback. I like Matt Stafford.
I like
Matthew Stafford. I know people. Hey man, people might laugh at me. I like that guy. I think he got a lot of talent.
Look, he has a talented arm, but I think the skittishness when he's erratic, he'll turn the ball over. But he has a big arm and his guts. I think a lot of the team, especially the way he came into the league and up until this point now, that if he's in a trouble situation, he takes a big hit, he gets right back up and plays football. But I don't throw him into this conversation with the top 12 quarterback.
No, I wouldn't do that. But you're right, that guy plays tough. He got moxie. He got an arm. Look. He needs more weapons around him, and they need a running game he can finally lean on 20, 25 times a game.
Right, because Theo Riddick is our wealth at the running back position. But Theo Riddick got a good game. Riddick got a good game yesterday. I just want to see this continue on, and Golden State has to wake up. I don't even want to put Matt into this conversation. I'm reaching putting Matt into this situation.
No, I like the quarterback. All right, fellas, I need to go ahead and get off the phone, man, but I'm going to call y'all back.
Definitely. You call in and tell a friend to tell a friend. I do want to say this topic before we do get away from here. That Rutgers game that we were talking about, Tommy, the other day, Michigan playing Rutgers, one of my favorite steakhouses in the world, Ruth Chris, put out an ad that said every point that Michigan scores, we will take 1% off of your bill. They had to take 78% off of every bill that came through that door all across the country.
Wow.
Yes, 78%. So people are going in there eating like madmen and getting 78% off of their damn receipt. Are you serious? If I'd have knew that, I'd have been at Room Chris ordering everything. I'd have been ordering everything. Everything.
Dude, find out that being you done would have been.
Right. If I'd have known that, it would have been over.
You're on the show from there.
Right. So they said that it extremely backfired. They said Ruth Chris is paying for it like crazy across the country. Okay. I need a plug, closeout, shout out as we shut it down here at the wrap up. Excellent stuff. It's just me and you, Tommy, on the closeout.
Yeah, good show. Hopefully we can get some more callers like that. Nationals, one game away, my baby. One game away. Can we please lock it down? I don't want to go back to D.C. I'm sure L.A. will throw Kershaw out at us tomorrow. Boston, you're losing. I hope this leads off to a Poppy, maybe walk-off. I really want to see Poppy keep playing. I don't want to see him end his career by a sweep. But, hey, Cleveland, at least that's something for you to root for because your football team sucks. And what is it, 15 days away, Ty? Basketball season starts for them? That's something else to look at for.
Yeah, that's for sure. I feel some type of way about all of what Tommy mentioned, and me and Tommy were actually talking about this game with the Dodgers and the Nationals, and he was actually concerned about it, but he still, even before when we were talking about it in the show, he still felt like his boys have a legit shot. They could seal the deal out in California. They could seal the deal. I didn't feel strong about the Dodgers. I didn't feel strong about them. But we'll see if they can close the door. They got to close the door. I agree with Tommy. They don't want to carry it to a game five risk and anything goes type of situation. But you know the Dodgers will come out fighting tooth and nail to try and win that game. That's for sure. SportsCityChefs.com, that is the website. Check out the interviews, the blog, the chef. We'll be back here tomorrow with the cookout. The same usual suspect. Get your boys in here. You already see we had a call in from New York. And how it goes down, we are prepared for anything. Come in here and get these dishes. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Out there for their purchase. We surely appreciate it. But you about to witness is my thoughts.
Just my thoughts, man.
Right or wrong, just what I was feeling at the time. You ever felt like this? Vibe with me.
Walk with a nigga, man.
Vibe with me. Yo, gather around, hustlers, that's if you're still living. And get on down to that old jig rhythm. Here's a couple of jewels to help you get through your bit in prison. A ribbon in the sky, keep your head high.